All right, this is the Michael Slate Show, and I'm your host, Michael Slate.
As Refused Fascism recently said, an American fascism is here and advancing. Trump's acquittal in the sham impeachment trial in the fascist-controlled Senate, itself a major assault on the rule of law, has unleashed a series of vindictive actions against those who testified. He has continued the ethnic cleansing of immigrants, seeking to strip naturalized Americans of their citizenship. But despite the fact that Trump has repeatedly said he will not respect the result of an election he does not win, millions have been sucked into the election, accommodating and collaborating with fascism, saying, "Well, wait another year." To quote Refuse Fascism again, "The hour is late. If we do not intervene now, we cannot ask how the German people accepted the horrors of the Nazi regime. What we allow is not just what we condone, it is what we become. Sisters and brothers, the hour is late." All this makes even more urgent the need for a movement of sustained, nonviolent political action with one demand: Trump, Pence out now. It's now 2020. In just under 3 years, Trump has kept his promises. The ethnic cleansing of immigrants, with tens of thousands of children in cages, packing the courts with fascist judges, pouring gasoline on a burning planet, getting rid of even the smallest environmental protections, assaulting a woman's right to choose and LGBTQ rights. Step by step, Trump and Pence are turning this country into a fascist theocracy. And unless those who oppose this, those who are angry and afraid, step out into the streets, the people of the world are going to face unprecedented horrors. At the back end of the show, we'll hear an excerpt from a talk by Bob Avakian, or BA, the chairman of the Revolutionary Communist Party. "The Trump-Pence regime must go. In the name of humanity, we refuse to accept the fascist America. A better world is possible." This is BA's answer to the question. This system sucks, but what can we do now? Some say vote for the lesser of two evils. Before that, we're going to hear two timely statements from Andy Z. Andy is one of the initiators of Refuse Fascism and a member of the Get Organized for an Actual Revolution tour. Now, the first are remarks that he made at national meetings of Refuse Fascism following the assassination of Qasem Soleiman. It's on the qualitative leap to fascism and the urgency to drive the Trump-Pence regime from power. The second will be how to struggle with people to get into the street to drive out Trump and Pence. This is from a short speech at a rally in December following the impeachment of Trump. So let's hear Andy Z.
"The fascist regime, in terms of their programs, does all the things that Sansari just talked about. But I have heard, or I have read New York Times editorial that lists all those same things. I have heard Bernie Sanders talk about many of those things, but not all. There are people who are going to D.C. next week to put pressure on the Republican senators. I think we should actually be down there too if we can figure out how to do this. But why? What is the difference with what we are advocating as, and when we say it's the only way that we can remove this entire regime and what it's going to mean for the masses of people of the world, the people of the Middle East, who are going to suffer immeasurably, that's already started. Not to mention the people in the concentration camps, and we haven't actually talked about that this is a program also for a faster genocide against black people in this country. Let's be clear that that is very much in Trump's sights. But the essence of this, and what is already going on, and in a way that you don't see day to day, is the change in the form of rule of this country. And as a revolutionary and a revolutionary communist, I don't have much use for the form of rule in this country, no matter what. But if you are somebody who believes in the democratic process such as it's been in this country, or you think that that democratic process could be reformed in a way that it would work in the interest of the masses people, you have to confront this. That what is going to happen, and what is already happening, is the taking away of the process now where a legislature is an independent body that in some ways is representative of the will of the people. What is being taken away is the separation of power between the judiciary, the courts, and the laws as it is. The rule of law is being replaced by the rule of the dictates of the executive branch, the president, the fascist in charge. That's what you even see in this attack on, in Iraq yesterday against a leader of Iran. It's the violation of the rule. That's what in a democracy arguing process. It's so boring to listen to them sometimes. But what they are actually arguing that has half a point, more than half a point, is that they didn't consult with Congress. He just went and broke international law, committed a war crime, and now deal with it. That's what he's done his entire
life, really.
Life and his entire regime.
That's
so. I think we should, you know, it's fine that people are going down to Congress to try to pressure the Republicans to vote for impeachment, but they are missing the boat, okay? They are missing the boat. That isn't going to actually solve the problem that we're facing. We're facing fascism. Once that does get consolidated, it don't f-ing matter what you think or what you want, because it's a different, we have had a police state. In many ways, especially for the oppressed communities, but for the majority of Americans, it's not. That's officer friendly out there. Okay? That's what it's been. You know, drive by while white and go a little too fast and be nice to the officer and you might get away with it. Drive according to the law when you're black and you don't get away with it. It's if he, by the whim of what he does. But this now becomes the law. You see, it's a different form of rule. And that's where you don't have a choice anymore. And that's where it becomes too late, where they can. And here's the danger of the Iran thing. If there is a sharper conflagration, and even if it comes to hitting Americans, and especially American civilians, then you can declare a state of emergency and martial law. How do you think fascism comes into place anyplace else?
That's right.
This isn't a curse word coming from us. This isn't the worst thing we can say. Well, there's racist, patriarchal, xenophobe, but man, fascism, that really nails it because it's worse than the others. It's actually a form in which this ruling class could rule over the masses of people here in the world and be ruthless. So when you talk about the blue wave, it's also true. Somebody made the point that you might not have had an impeachment had there not been more Democrats elected. There's some truth to that. Of course there's truth to that. If they'd been in the minority, they couldn't have won it. But two things have to be said about that. Secondarily, the blue wave was won by electing very right-wing Democrats. The progressive Democrats, like AOC, only replaced other progressive Democrats who were a little bit to the right of them. But the actual blue wave was by putting in power, in contesting in conservative districts, by putting in people who, the number one qualification is that you're in the military, number two that you were in the SEALs, and number three that you love the CIA. That's who these people were who actually got in there. And that's why they waver all the time and there's worry about keeping the Democratic caucus in power, intact. But that's not going to hold up in a situation where national security is in jeopardy. I'm going into this in some depth now because we have to understand, while we should go down to Washington, D.C. and other places and unite with people who are trying to put pressure on Republican senators, but as a strategy, it's dead wrong and it's dangerous. The reason why I really agree with what Vanessa said, it's 2020 could be too late, not because there might not be still room for struggle later on. We don't know. That's the key thing. But when that window closes, then it's closed.
Yeah.
That's the history of fascism. Okay? And it usually comes to power by election. I've told this story before, but there's some new people here. When we first started this, I spoke at some kind of cocktail party or whatever the hell it was to raise money for Refuse Fascism. There's about 40 or 50 people there, well-heeled, intellectual, smart people. There was about 40 people there. 39 people disagreed with me. And the one person who agreed with me didn't say anything until it was all over, and she stayed behind, and a middle-class woman, and she came up to me and she said, "I'm from Turkey. And what these people said here today, my friend said to me in Turkey, they said I was just self-involved." Turned out she was one of the most famous novels in Turkey. I didn't learn that until after she gave me the book, and then since Tara went and read it, we found out who she was and all my now, why didn't I get her number? Because I'll tell you one reason I didn't get her number is because she says, "I sleep in a different bed every night now." You see, she was saying that things can change. Turkey was a democracy. It was let into NATO. This was, I'm not a big fan of NATO, but you get my point, right? See, things then changed at a certain point. There was a, anyway, I don't want to walk through the whole history, but at a certain point having to do with a coup, Erdogan, who is the head of Turkey, slammed that window shut. 120,000 people arrested overnight. Congress purged, courts purged. This can happen. Don't think it can't happen in America. Of course it's not what's happened over the last 240 years, but it doesn't mean it can't happen just because it hasn't happened. Not in a country founded on slavery and the genocide of the native people. Not in a country that's gone and attacked countries almost every year since its foundation. And over, just in everybody's lifetime here, including the younger people here, it has invaded or staged a coup. But of course it could happen here. And it is what's happening. So we say it's fascism. And I'm going on about this because it's very important. We have a different program. Our program is that the only way you can stop this regime and the full fascist force that's behind it is by creating a political crisis of masses and masses of people in the streets saying, we don't accept this. See, these other programs can be a part of that. That's why I've said, you know, there should be Bernie supporters up on the dais or the podium in front of us. And they can be, you know, we stood with Cornel West. He's a surrogate for Bernie Sanders, for God's sake. But he recognized and spoke to it very eloquently. You can see the video on refusefascism.org that absent a mass struggle from below, whatever if Bernie gets in, he'd be lucky to survive. I'll be honest with you. This is a fascist movement numbering in the millions of people with very powerful people in the military and in the security forces behind them. You see, society is already clean. This is another point that Baba Vakin people mentioned and said. It's not that Trump is creating divisions. He's taking advantage of those divisions and widening them for what? A different form of rule because they feel threatened here and around the world. So I wanted to really bring this home because we are going to have to get out there and struggle with people, including struggle with ourselves. And I'm trying to struggle with some people here today who are... whose heart's in the right place, who want to act against this, who really hate what's going on, and who, yes, have different philosophies and political perspectives and objectives than some of us who are revolutionaries have. But all of us together do have to recognize that fascism is a distinct form of rule. Mm. It has consequences, and it can't be recovered from very easily, and in fact, historically, it's never been quickly recovered from without an external force liberating it from the outside. It's true that Pinochet eventually was removed from Chile, but that was after a long historical period. And this is what we actually have to reckon with, because we have a different program that can put its arms around people who are part of the electoral process, people who want to put pressure on the senators or the congresspeople to debate. We should put our arms around that. That's not the dividing line of this. It's not vote or don't vote or be a Democrat or be a revolutionary or be an anarchist or be whatever. But it is, in the name of humanity, we refuse to accept a fascist America. Not a curse word, but a specific form of rule that, should it succeed, wipes everything else out. That's not alarmist. That's factual. One other thing, on our editorial board, I thought this was really a beautiful metaphor that really struck me the other day. Sarah Rourke, who's actually at this point is an expatriate, she writes from New Zealand, but she was just here for a couple of months or so, or a month or so. But she wrote yesterday, you know, a lot of people right now are feeling like this is really bad, but it's livable. I'm living my life. I'm going to go to Washington and protest and all that. She said, but you don't understand. This is like a flower that's been cut. And you put it on a vase on your table. It's still beautiful. It still smells good. But it's dying. It's already dead. The democracy that you think you've had, you don't have it anymore. You have it to some extent. It's not been, fascism has not been consolidated. We wouldn't be standing here. We'd be like downstairs someplace and you would have had to go through some motions, some changes to actually get to the meeting. We don't want to get there. But we do have to recognize that that's what's in the offing. And if we don't understand that, at least in a basic sense, that's the urgency that causes us to be crazy enough to go out to people and say, look, you don't know what the hell is going on here. We've really got to build a different kind of movement. Mm-hmm. Not forget your movement, not forget your local activity, not to forget your environment, but we have to get in the streets mm-hmm. and stay in the streets until this is gone. Because until it's gone, we got a world of hurt. Last thing is the point that we've made several times in Refuse Fascism, which is the point that Steve King, the reactionary fascist lunatic from the state of Iowa, has said, when he said, "We have our side has 8 trillion bullets, while your side debates what bathroom to go to."
Yeah.
Now we are for transgender rights, just to be clear on this, and we'll defend them and should be on the front lines of that struggle. But his point is that it's not just electoral here.
Uh-huh.
It's not just electoral. There's literally hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people who are armed and arming for a conflagration. Mm-hmm. That is another reason why only masses of people mm-hmm. who see what this regime, for all the reasons that Sansara said, all the terrible things they're doing, but they are changing the rules of the game because they are a minority who are going to force that over a majority. Study Israel, study South Africa, and see that minorities can rule a majority and create a reign of terror that forces that. And what happens, and unfortunately is happening here, is that majority goes along with it very peacefully. Because they get the message. That's what it means to say the German people were good Germans and we should not be good Americans in that sense. So I really wanted to bring this in because this is what we're confronting now. A different situation where it's not that nobody's in the street, but people are in the street with lots of different programs. And we have to learn how to struggle with them and put our arms around them at the same time. And that's a more complicated situation.
That was Andy Z on the qualitative leap to fascism and the urgency to drive the Trump-Pence regime from power. We're going to take a quick musical break and be right back, so stay tuned.
This track is not an attack upon the American people. It's an attack upon the system within which they live. Since 1945, the United States has attempted to overthrow more than 50 foreign governments. In the process, the U.S. has caused the end of life for several million people and condemned many millions more to a life of agony and despair. The strength of your dreaming prevents you from reason. The American dream only makes sense if you're sleeping. It's just a cruel fantasy. Their politics took my voice away, but their music gave it back to me. The land where they're lumping are consumed by consumption, killing themselves to shovel down food in abundance. I guess a rapper from Britain is a rare voice. America is capitalism on steroids. Natives kept in casinos and reservations. Displaced slaves never given reparations. Take everything from Native Americans and wonder why I call it the racist experiment. Afraid of your melanin, the same as it's ever been. That ain't gonna change with the race of the president. I see imperialism under your skin tone. You could call it Christopher Columbus syndrome.
Is it Obama's nation or an abomination? Is it Obama's nation or an abomination? Is it Obama's nation or an abomination? Does it make it difference when they form a nation? Is it Obama's nation or an abomination?
Okay, that was Abomination by Low Key. Now we're going to hear more from Andy Z. This is how to struggle with people to get into the street to drive out the Trump and Pence regime.
All right, thank you, Carl. I just want to point out that Carl is also a co-initiator of Refuse Fascism. We're going to be sending you all out here today with a new flyer. And I just want to read the beginning of this flyer. It says, "Join the Out Now movement. The Trump-Pence regime must go now. Everyone with a conscience and a heart for the people and the planet must confront that every day the Trump-Pence regime remains in power, threatens the future. We must face this hard truth, but that is not enough. We must act on it. And there is a way to remove this regime. The whole regime, the Out Now movement, is calling for sustained, nonviolent protest that begins week after week and goes to day after day, where we're putting something on the line because it matters, the future depends on it, and now is the time when this must begin. We're calling for a month of activity in the month of January to once again try to get this movement going in this country. And I see that the fog is lifted a bit today. But the fog has not lifted over the people of this country, who continue to believe that they can ignore what is happening right before our faces. Look, it doesn't matter how much you hate Donald Trump. What really matters is how much you've accepted him. And it does matter if you come out and you act to drive this regime out. It will matter if you come out on Tuesday, the night before the impeachment vote in the House. But the question will be, come out to do what? Are you coming out as the leaders of this movement that's going to be in the streets on Tuesday night saying, well, we're going to go through impeachment, but then that'll be over, and what we really have to do is get ready for 2020. This is whistling past a political graveyard. By the time that election comes around, we could be in a whole different situation where even the ability to vote somebody out of office like Donald Trump may be taken away. And he has told you that he may not leave office. It's a joke. That's not funny. Because these people really are bringing a different form of rule to this country. And if you don't believe it, you need to do some work. And go to the website refusefascism.org and see what they have already done and where their program leads. So there are some questions that we have to ask ourselves. I'm sure everybody here is saying, who stopped to listen and is thinking about, man, I'm really glad somebody's out here saying Trump, Pence out now, but where are all the people? Well, if there aren't more people, we can't do this. And that's true. But you have to ask yourself, what kind of people are we? If we don't move now, heaven and earth, when the architecture of fascism is being put in place, as the sister, the professor from North Carolina just brought forth, in the analogy to Germany in the early 30s, what will you do? What will we do? What do we need to do when so many people are standing aside from the tremendous crimes that are happening right now under our noses? When people turn away, a reporter here asked me, well, why are people turning away? Well, fundamentally, it's because at this point, it hasn't affected them. Why? Well, one reason is because this country sits on the top of the food chain. Many people are in despair and anguish, but it hasn't hit them. But it has hit. It has hit millions of people who are fleeing countries destroyed by the U.S. It has hit them. There are detention camps on your border. Children are being separated from their parents. Children and families are being kept in cages. People are dying on the border, and even more than that, right now. The Trump-Pence regime has taken measures that may make it impossible, to actually reverse what is happening to the climate that will cause even more devastation and destruction and may even destroy life as we know it on this planet. And here I want to take a moment just to say to those youth,
they didn't know the room was too big because they didn't have any,
who are protesting around climate change.
How are they going to beat ISIS?
My heart was really moved when they took the stage. They rushed the stage after Greta spoke and they said, we are unstoppable. Another world is possible. But I want to say to those youth two things. Don't lose that spirit. Actually, I want to say three things. Don't lose that spirit, number one. Number two, you have to recognize that everything you are fighting for to protect the planet stands in jeopardy when the most powerful economic and military power in the world is retreating from doing anything about this, and that if it succeeds in consolidating fascism, then all bets are off for the planet. So because you are fighting for climate change, you need to say and be part of Out Now. And I want to say one more thing to these youth. Another world is possible, but it is not possible without a revolution. As the sister before spoke, Luan from the Revolution Club. Now that is not the unity necessary to be part of the Out Now movement, but it does have to be said that this is not a matter of the greed of the oil companies and the complacency of the people in power. This is an imperative, a necessity of the system itself to continually go in its dog-eat-dog way, to rapaciously devour the planet and its people, and we need a whole different system that she spoke about before. But I want to say again to the youth, do not lose that spirit and bring that spirit into the movement to drive the Trump-Pence regime out, and do not stop. What will you do, and what will we do, when white supremacy sits in the White House and in every branch of government? Is it okay for you to sit at home because you're not black, or brown, or Asian, or South Asian? Is that okay?
No.
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 What was the meaning of never again after the Holocaust? Never again should this happen to me, or is it never again should this happen to anyone?
Anyone.
Well, that this is still a problem is manifest in two ways right now. One, how few people are out here. So the question for all of us who are out here is, are we going to go put this in people's faces?
Yeah.
Turn their faces around.
Yeah.
And then, yes, we can sit down and explain. But it is not acceptable to say the people are all screwed up, which they are right now. They're acting like ostriches with their heads in the sand about what we're really facing. It's not okay to just recognize that. We have to go struggle for them. Because there's another part of these people, in that they hate this. They're in anguish. Even somebody I have some differences with who writes for the New York Times, Michelle Goldberg, has a cold op-ed in the New York Times today about the amount of mental despair that she and others feel. And I was reading a letter to Revolution Books today that spoke of a workshop among black youth where they couldn't even speak of what they face because of the abuse every day and the threat and the terror of living under a white supremacist regime. When people look back at this moment, will they say that the people who were sickened by what is happening put their hope in the leadership of the Democratic Party that passed articles of impeachment that were limited to a foreign policy scandal and which, yes, did actually undermine the legitimacy such as it exists of the electoral system, although the sister who spoke earlier spoke about how this system is also rigged in many ways in excluding people of color. But will they say that's all they did, and then they went into the trial and gave up before it started? They've told you he's not going to be removed from office. They've told you that they're not going to do anything about it. They've told you all of this. But what are we going to do about that? Are we going to get out in the streets and prepare people for the kind of struggle that is necessary? That's what has to be done. That's what we're calling for. Now, I know some of you are thinking, man, we did this in November, and there's not that many people out today, and that's not just attributable to the rain. Okay, it's going to be even colder and rainier and snowier and icier and all that kind of stuff in January. But people have fought for change all over the world in bad weather.
That's right.
And bad weather is nothing compared to the crimes that are being cooked up and being prosecuted by this regime. And so we better harden up and get out into these streets and struggle with other people to get out into the streets, because there's no other way to drive this regime out. I want to say another thing about this impeachment. The very day that they passed in the Judiciary Committee the articles of impeachment, as weak as they were, Nancy Pelosi marches to the podium and says, we've reached across the aisle to strike a deal with the Democrats, with the Republican fascists. We're going to work with Donald Trump on a new version of NAFTA, and even worse, on the NDAA, the authorization of tremendous military oppression reigned on the people of the world, having agreed to, yes, the Democrats agreed to strip out every provision that wouldn't somehow safeguard some people, such as ending the war in Yemen. So they've told you right from the beginning that they are not going to do this, and yet you're still out there saying, well, I guess I'll just enjoy my holidays, which you should. But you should enjoy it talking to relatives and friends about what we really face and preparing them for struggle. I'm going on a bit here, more than I intended to, because the people who are here need to become an active force to change things. And who we have to change most of all are the people who do anguish over this, who are opposed to this, but are not doing what's needed to be done. I have a word to say now to the Bernie people. At another time, we can get into why I think Bernie, in dividing the spoils that the U.S. gets from around the world among the American people more fairly, is not the answer. But that's not what I want to talk to you about right now. I want to talk to you about your looking past, again, the graveyard that will be fascism. Bernie, Elizabeth, and not a single candidate for president will even utter the word fascism. They won't even say the word. And why not? Because if you say that word, then you're starting to realize what needs to be done. You can look at history and you can look at the present life we're living right now, and you will know that this is not going to go away without a fight. What we're calling for and sustain nonviolent protests in the movement for Out Now is not easy. It is not going to be without sacrifice. On some level, people know that. But you tell me when any regime like this has ever been dislodged without sacrifice. Don't go cheering for the people in Hong Kong if you're not prepared to go through what they're going through. Don't go flashing pictures on your Twitter of Iraq, Santiago, countries all around the world where people are taking to the streets. You think nobody's facing any prison or danger? How many people have been swept up? This is not a joke. This is fascism. Fascism growing around the world, and there's a longer explanation for why that's the case. But we have to face this. I'm not trying to give you a rah-rah speech here, obviously. Obviously. But I am trying to talk to you straight about what needs to be done. And it should. You can tell I'm infuriated. I'm infuriated at the people who aren't here. But what do you do with that? Well, you can get a pillow and punch it. When I was younger, I had a young kid, and we had this thing that you could go, this punching bag, and it would flop back and forth, and if you got angry, you'd say, go hit that for a way. There's several groups, and not enough, who are fighting to remove the Trump-Pence regime. I want to say why. I want to say a word to all of them and why we developed the Out Now movement. Because wherever you're coming from to oppose this regime, whatever ever effect of this regime that you are fighting against, whether it be immigration, the climate, racism, misogyny, the right to abortion, none of that goes forward unless this whole regime is removed. But we need to say to all these movements that Out Now is not anybody's property. We are determined and refuse fascism. And those who, like myself, are revolutionaries who helped initiate refuse fascism, we are determined to stand behind our slogan, in the name of humanity, we refuse to accept a fascist America.
That's right!
Yeah.
But we are also determined that everybody should be in this movement from whatever political belief you have, as long as you unite with that one single demand that Trump and Pence and that whole regime must be out now. So bring your own signs, bring your own things. This is not, oh, I'm going to lose my integrity with my group. Keep your integrity and grow your group. I don't care.
Right.
What has to happen is this regime has to be removed.
Yeah.
Right.
Now, January. Maybe this is be the last thing I want to say. In January, we have to be getting our forces together. Between now and January, Sansara and others will tell you about how we're going to do work over the next period, between now and New Year's. But on January 4th, we need everybody to come together in some mass meetings to discuss how we're going to drive this thing out. We have to get into it deeply, and we have to plan. And then the next weekend, which will be in the middle of the trial of Donald Trump in the Senate, there have to be people in the streets. The following weekend is Martin Luther King weekend. We need to be in the streets. The Women's March has called for a march on the Saturday of that. We should be going there. But to do what? They have said we're going into that march to go against any senators who vote to acquit Donald Trump. But actually, their program is to elect more Democrats. Well, they can do that, but that's not going to drive out the regime. So we have to go into that protest and put forward this demand and this strategy. And then the following Saturday, on the 25th, we need to build these demonstrations so that there's not just 60 or 70 people or ever many who are here, but hundreds of people in the streets, and that we get this going with the kind of momentum that grows from hundreds to thousands to tens of thousands and millions of people, learning from the example that people have done all around the world. So with that, I want you to join me in saying, aha, I don't have the pledge in front of me, but that together, join me, I'm going to make up a new pledge, unless, okay, together, this is a mic check, okay? Together, we have to overcome fear and uncertainty.
Fear and uncertainty.
And act with determination.
And act with determination.
To drive out.
To drive out.
The Trump-Pence regime.
The Trump-Pence regime.
In the name of humanity.
In the name of humanity.
We refuse.
We refuse.
To accept.
To accept.
A fascist America.
A fascist America.
In the name of humanity.
In the name of humanity.
We refuse.
We refuse.
To accept.
Except
a fascist America.
A fascist America.
That's why we say.
That's why we say.
Trump Pence.
Trump Pence.
Out now.
Out now.
Thank you.
That was Andy Z, co-initiator of Refuse Fascism and member of the National Revolution Tour, talking about how to struggle with people to get into the street to drive out the Trump Pence regime. If you want to hear more from Andy and Refuse Fascism on what's going on in the world and how we can get Trump and Pence out now, you can go to Refuse Fascism Facebook page. Refuse Fascism has weekly webinars on Wednesdays, and the discussions are streamed and archived. Sisters and brothers, I would highly recommend that you check this out. We're going to take a quick musical break and be right back with Bob Avakian, so stay tuned. Okay, that was Function Underground by We the People. Now we're going to hear from Bob Avakian, the chairman of the Revolutionary Communist Party, responding to the question, this system sucks, but what can we do now? Some say, vote for the lesser of two evils. This is from the Trump-Pence regime must go. In the name of humanity, we refuse to accept a fascist America. A better world is possible.
So there's another question from the audience. Okay, let's take right down here, the second row.
Fortunately, as a Democrat, it has been a long determined that to vote for the lesser of the two evils, right? Either the Dems or the Republican. But it has gotten to the point where both of them are just as worse. One is cancer and one is HIV. So you don't want to vote for either one of them. And that's what happened. Over 40% of people who could have voted, they didn't vote, or they voted for somebody else, or they voted somebody else in. Now the problem being is, nothing is working, okay? But in the interim, I know the system sucks, but what are you supposed to do in the interim, okay?
The problem, you know, I don't want to sound flippant or silly, but the problem with voting for the lesser evil is, and I don't even like to use the word evil, but let's just take it there. The problem with voting for the lesser evil is that you're voting for evil. See, that's the problem. And but let's you know, get deeper than that, because that could just be, you know, just a clever saying that doesn't have much meaning. The problem is you have the system that operates in certain ways, and it's, you know, it's not. I noticed, for example, Charles Blow, who's a columnist who, you know, writes for the New York Times, and he's a commentator sometimes on CNN. He's sort of a middle class black guy, and you know, he wrote this column about how terrible Trump is, but then he turned all of his anger at the end, or a lot of it, toward people who didn't vote, you know, and therefore you're responsible for why Trump is in now. And but you see, we have to let's step back a little bit and look at the larger picture. The reason that Trump is in is not because, you know, or that things have come to this situation, is not because, the cause of it is not that people didn't vote for Hillary Clinton. Because, let's step back a little bit, a lot of people did vote for Obama. And they got Obama. And then, why do we get Trump? Because the kinds of things that the system is doing in this country and in the world lead a lot of people on the terms of the system to want to have this kind of fascist solution. And the Hillary Clintons and Barack Obamas of the world did not challenge and cannot challenge the underlying assumptions and the underlying dynamics of the system that push people in that direction and lead people in that direction. Let me give you an example. A lot, you know, you have people who said that they voted for Obama. Look, I'm not a racist. I voted for Trump, but I'm not a racist because I voted for Obama, not once, but twice. But what were they looking for when they voted for Obama? They were looking for someone who would tell them that this is a post-racial society where there's no longer any discrimination and oppression. And if you want proof, look, we elected a black president. I even voted for him. So now, don't come around and tell me about how there's any oppression going on. If you're not doing well, it's your own fault. And I don't want to hear about the police shooting down people because this is a post-racial society. We voted for Obama, that proves it. So if somebody got shot by the police, they must have been doing something wrong. See, a lot of these white people who voted for Obama and then voted for Trump, they wanted Obama to prove that there was no longer any oppression, so nobody should complain about it anymore. And as much as people don't want to talk about this, Obama said the same thing. When Obama got reelected in 2012, in his victory speech on election night, he said, if you work hard and do the right thing in this country, I mean, I'm paraphrasing, but this is the essence of what he said. If you work hard and do the right thing in this country, you can be anything you want to be and get ahead. Now, that's a lie. Millions of people's lives prove that's a lie. And what is, stop and think a minute. I pointed this out before. There was a woman in the Trump campaign in Ohio who had to resign from the, think about this, she had to resign from the Trump campaign because she openly said, basically, there's no discrimination in this society. If black people are complaining and they're not doing well, it's their own fault. She had to resign after she said that, but Obama's speech said exactly the same thing. She just said it in nasty terms, and Obama said it in very hopeful terms. But think of the logic, it's the same thing. Listen to Obama's words and think of the meaning and the implication. If you work hard and do the right thing, then you can succeed. What's the logical conclusion? If you are not succeeding, then you are not working hard and doing the right thing, which is exactly the same thing this woman in Ohio said, but Obama said it in hopeful terms. And, you know, I could go on and on about Obama, how he's tied in with all, how he, when he came up, talk about himself as a community organizer. What he really did was get involved with all these real estate interests in Chicago that destroyed public housing and, you know, dissipated and dispersed people all over the city. Which, you know, look, I'm not one of these people that believes the line that some people run out in Chicago. It was better when we had a more organized gang structure. The problem now is that all the gang structure is broken down. And so all these crazy youth are running around here with no discipline and no organization. But the fact is that the destruction of the housing projects in Chicago did have the effect of dispersing a lot of people around and actually knocking down a lot of this gang structure. And there is a lot of craziness that's arisen out of it. So I guess I just said, I don't actually agree with that, but there is something there. But think about this. Obama is the head of a system. He's not an individual acting on his own. Whatever, you know, first of all, I mean, he's going around now making these multi-thousand dollar speeches to businessmen in Brazil and all these other places promoting, you know, the globalized capitalism. So that's where he's coming from. You know, but nevertheless, think about it this way. What did Obama say when Freddie Gray was murdered by the police? Yes, he was murdered by the police, and of course they got off. But what did Obama say when the youth said, "That's goddamn it, that's enough"? And they rose up and burned down a few things. Obama went on TV and called them thugs. So this provides fertile ground then for the kind of thing that's represented by Trump. Because you have this illusion that with this president, Obama, we have now entered into a post-racial society, and nobody should be complaining about being discriminated against and oppressed and murdered by the police and so on. And then when people do righteously rise up against things like police murder, then all these people, you know, and they'll tell you. I remember one woman said, "Well, I voted for Obama, but when he got up and said that Trayvon Martin could have been his son, that was just too much for me." See, and the only reason Obama said that was because, you know, he recognized and his advisors told him, "You are going to lose all credibility among black people and anybody who cares about black people if you don't say something in the face of this." So it is this system that's creating the conditions. You see, what I was getting at in my talk is that this is a system that's had white supremacy woven into it from the very beginning. And there is no alternative that the ruling forces can put up that's going to get rid of white supremacy. Not Hillary Clinton, not Barack Obama, not any Democrat that comes along. Not Bernie Sanders, not anybody. They can't get rid of the white supremacy, they can't get rid of the male supremacy, they can't get rid of the whole exploitative nature of the system itself. And everything that all the exploitation that it depends on all throughout the world, with little children working for, you know, pittances, making a lot of the products that go into cell phones and computers and other things. They can't do away with all that. So therefore, when people, you know, want to cling to their white supremacy, and a Trump comes forward and overtly appeals to that, they're going to go with that, and there's nobody in the ruling circles that's going to really oppose that. You know, Hillary Clinton may talk about, well, these people that support Trump are a basket of deplorables or whatever she called it. The only thing she said wrong about that, in my opinion, she said half of them. Unfortunately, it's more than half. Not, you know, look, not everybody who voted for Trump is a racist, but every one of them was willing to support a racist, which makes them a racist. Okay? So, and the, you know, the same, you know, so, you know, all these things, like the question of women, the subordinate position of women, denying women the right not only to abortion but even birth control, denying them the right to have control of their own bodies in that way. This is something that the, you know, the Christian fascists and the Republican Party in general are, have been pushing aggressively, you know, passing all kinds of repressive laws and state on the state level and so on. And the Democrats will only half-heartedly oppose them. Why? Because to really oppose them, you have to go up against the religious fundamentalism. You have to call into question the whole subordinate position of women in this society and say and point out and say that's what it is and it should go. And it can't go under the system, so there's no Democrat who's really going to do that. You know, and the Democrats are always trying to prove that they're, you know, more patriotic than the Republicans, at least as patriotic as the Republicans. They support the wars at least as much. Now, I'll get to your question about religion in a second, but, you know, there was, here's another example. There was a case where this guy, Michael Nidau, I think was his name, from California, challenged the Pledge of Allegiance, in particular the phrase, under God, one nation under God. Now, it's interesting, just to take a little more time. That phrase was not originally in the Pledge of Allegiance. It was added in the 1950s under President Eisenhower during the Cold War against the Soviet Union to contrast the religious America with the atheistic communism of the Soviet Union. That's how why we have, that's the, it was the anti-communism that injected that under God into the Pledge of Allegiance. And Michael Nidau challenged this, and his challenge went, because his kid was being forced to say this in school. And it went all the way to the Supreme Court. And it's interesting that the head of the Supreme Court, the Chief Justice at that time, Rehnquist, said to Michael Nidau in this Supreme Court hearing, well, there's no, I don't hear, you know, under God, it's not promoting any particular God. And Michael Nidau said, I don't see how you can argue that under God means no God. So obviously God's being promoted here. It's one thing for people to have religious freedom. It's another thing for the state to impose religion on people. And that's what making kids say one nation under God is doing, clearly. And the Supreme Court ruled against this guy, but he had a very good argument. Well, what did the Democratic Party do in the middle of this? A whole bunch of Democratic Party Congress people came out of the steps of Congress and very vociferously repeated the Pledge of Allegiance, emphasizing the phrase under God to prove that they're every bit as religious as the Christian fascists in the Republican Party. So these people are not going to challenge any of the fundamental assumptions of the system. They can't. So when the system goes to work creating conditions that reinforce what leads to a Trump, the Democratic Party is no answer to it. Cannot provide an answer because it's operating on the basis of the same system that's produced this. And so people, you know, go down the road of supporting Democrats like people supported Obama, only to find that the dynamics of things lead to a situation where more and more people are supporting a fascist. And it's only by breaking out of that that you can find any solution to it. And so the question, yeah, the system does suck. The question is, what do? We have to break out of that framework and go up against, you know, this system. At least now we're talking about on the level of driving out the fascist regime that's actually come to power. And I would argue on a more fundamental level, we need to go up against the system to get rid of it altogether as the more fundamental and ultimate solution. So that's one thing. By the way, on religious freedom, there, you know, you notice how they have this whole thing, like there's case going to the Supreme Court where this baker in somewhere, I think maybe in Colorado or somewhere, is refused to make a cake for a wedding of a gay couple. And he cited religious freedom. It's against my religious principles to do this. Well, then f***ing don't have a business, okay? That's the first thing. But, you know, you want to make cakes for yourself with your own artistry, fine. You know, but if you're in business, that's different. You know, and think about the logic. You know, my religion tells me that I shouldn't have to serve women. It's against my religion. Well, you can justify anything in the name of your religion. You can invent religions to justify things. Going back to Chicago again, there's this like prominent gang leader named Jeff Fort, who was a leader of the Peacestone Nation gang. And he was in and out of jail. And at one time after he came out of a long stint in prison, he got a bright idea. He said, I'm going to change the name of the organization from the Peacestone Nation to the El Rukans. And I'm going to declare myself a Muslim religious leader. And the El Rukans are going to be a religious organization. Guess what? Jeff Fort is spending the rest of his life in a federal prison somewhere. They didn't give a f*** about his religious freedom when it got in the way of what they wanted to do. They didn't care that he claimed, well, it's my religious beliefs that are leading me to do this. So it all depends on what the content of your religious beliefs is.
That was Bob Avakian, the chairman of the Revolutionary Communist Party, taken from the Trump-Pence regime must go. In the name of humanity, we refuse to accept the fascist America. A better world is possible. You can watch the entire talk at revcom.us, and you can get important news and analysis of the attacks on Iran and the resistance to Trump's war, so check that out. This brings us to the end of yet another show, and I want to thank all of the people who made this possible. I want to thank my assistant producer, Henry Carson, my production assistant, Jeff Pryor, and each and every one of you for tuning in. If you want to write to me, you can at mslate@themichaelslateshow.com. That's mslate@themichaelslateshow.com. We're going to go out now with Revolution from the Pretenders. Talk to you again next week.
Cats like me and you have got lost. But they ain't here to. Laws outside the laws, as they down by those we don't.